Today we're going to talk about the battle for your mind. And I'm excited about this because it's, I don't know how seriously people take it, but just the stuff with battle, that this is what it really is. This is stuff that we go through every day. I know y'all always play mind games in your head, trying to make decisions and going through this stuff. And so we're going to look at this. And first off, we need to note that every day of our life that we are in a civil war inside of us. You guys can flip over to Galatians 5:17 with me and we'll see this. Hope you got your Bibles, because I heard that's good to use when you talk about stuff. Galatians 5:17 sums it up pretty well. It says, "For the flesh sets its desire against the flesh, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." And so these are the two things that are battling. Romans 8, 5-8 gives us a little picture there, too, if you want to flip over there. Romans 8, 5-8. It says, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." And 1 Peter 2:11 sums up pretty well, too. It says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." And so these desires that we have from our flesh that we deal with every day are waging war against us, trying to get us to follow the sinful desires of the world. And so let's look a little bit here at the flesh. The flesh is the old nature we have. We are a new believer in Christ. This is where we all start off with in the world. We are all sinners. We're all imperfect before God. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you are dead in your trespasses and sins." It's talking about the spiritual death, that if we have these sins, that we are spiritually dead. Verses 2 through 3 carry it on to say that these sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working and the sons of disobedience. Among them too, we formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. And so this flesh just gives into any desire: selfishness, pride, sex, your mind, what you think, any type of sin. It just gives into that stuff. And that's what we were. Ephesians, if you look at 4:17 through 19, goes and talk about the futility of the mind, that your hearts are hard. And again, you just practice all kinds of impurity. If you live out of flesh, you can do whatever you want. These non-Christians that live out in the world, they can do whatever they want because the flesh rules them. Colossians 1:21 says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior." So we actually used to be going against God. This is where we're coming from. If you want to look at Galatians 5:19 through 21, just gives a list of some of this stuff. "The deeds of the flesh are evident. They're immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife." Goes on. "Drunkenness, rousing." And then it ends up in 21, says, "Such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." That's the consequence of the flesh, of the sin, is that we will not inherit the kingdom of God. But something happened. If you became a Christian, something happened. And that was, is that we're liberated from this. We're actually slaves to this sin, and God came and liberated us from this. Colossians 1 lets us look into this. Verses 13 and 14 says, talking about Jesus, says, "For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And so Jesus has redeemed us from this old flesh, from this old nature. And we have been taken to his kingdom. Verses 21 and 22 say, "And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless unto beyond reproach."
And so his death is what liberated us from that. Paying the consequences of that sin so that we don't have to live under that flesh. And that's what the gospel is that we are sinners, but that there is a way out, that we don't have to pay the consequence of hell, that Christ did die for our sins so he could take us away from the slavery to sin. And so when he presented us holy and blameless is when he gave us a new nature. Y'all know 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So the sin, the flesh, is gone. That nature is gone. And he has given us a new nature. And that's controlled by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit that God has given us. Still looking there at Galatians, you know, it gave us that long list at first of all the deeds of the flesh. And verse 22 picks up, gives us the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All these things. 24 says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So God has given us his Spirit, this new stuff. We've crucified the old flesh, but we still need to walk by it. And that's where the battle comes in. Is that in our will, in our daily life, we need to be walking by the Spirit that God has given us, not walking according to the desires of the flesh. Some more stuff about the Spirit is Ephesians 2:19, guys, says that we are now citizens of his household. That we're aliens and strangers to this world now because we belong to Christ. And therefore, we need to live like that. 2 Corinthians 5:15 gives one of the reasons that Jesus died. Thomas can talk about this. That, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. We need to be living by this new Spirit, not by the flesh of our past. Because the flesh is where we started out. It has seniority in our bodies. That it knows its way around us. It knows what we like. You know, sin knows... Satan knows what kind of sin we want to do. So he knows what buttons to push. And so the new Spirit's a new kid on the block that God has given us, that we need to train and we need to battle it for, to let him take control of our life. And... I like to be different from people. Don't always like to use same illustrations, but this fits really well. So we're going to look at the Matrix for a minute. because it makes sense. Is that Neo, he was a slave, like all the other people were, you know? They couldn't think, couldn't do anything. He was a slave. But someone came to him, they showed him the truth. He was deceived, they showed him the truth. He accepted it. He took the right pill or whatever. And then he was liberated from his slavery. And they gave him a whole new start. If y'all remember, there's a little clip in the movie, you know, where they got to get his muscles, they need to learn how to work, you know, and then they put him through the mind stuff and learn all the karate stuff and all the new way to fight. So now is when the battle begins. Before, he was a slave, he didn't do anything. He was a slave to whatever the Matrix told him to do. But now that he has this new nature, he's this new person, this is when the battle comes in, where he's got to start fighting. And it's really similar to us, that we were slaves of sin, and God liberated from that when we accepted the truth that Christ died for our sins. And so now we are in a daily battle to try and let this new nature that God has given us take control of our will, that we would not only be changed, Christ changed us, but now we need to live that out in our daily life. And God is doing that in our life. We can see that as that is our goal. I may have gotten a little carried away with the battle analogy, sorry. But our commander's goal, if you will. What are we fighting for? Why do we fight this battle? And everybody knows Romans 8:28. Anybody quote that for us? Yeah. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And I always read that and... thought, yeah, that's great, you know. That means the bad things will work out for good. I kind of skipped over the last part. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. A while back, somebody showed me what that purpose is. And that's verse 29. It says, and he who foreknew us predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son, that we might, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. So God's purpose, and it's the reason that we can say these bad things are to help us, is because God has predestined us to be like Christ.
You want to talk about predestination? Let's talk about predestination, that God wants us to look like Christ. He wants us to live like Him. And so that's our goal. Galatians 4:19, Paul says the same thing. He says, "My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you." Man, he's going to keep on working on people until Christ is actually formed in them, until their life looks like Christ's life. And that's the goal. That's what we're fighting from. We're coming from this sin, slavery of sin, to all the way so that we can look like Christ and live like He did. And so, what is the war strategy? How do we fight this battle we're in? We're going to look at Romans 12:2. It says, "And do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world." That's the flesh, the pattern of this world, the sin. It says, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will." And that's the Spirit. It's what God wants. And so we're coming from the world, and we're trying to figure out what is God wants. What is God's will? What is it in my life? What is it in my friend's life? What does it mean about my future? What does it mean right now as I'm trying to make this decision? And the way that happens, the way we are changed, the way we are transformed, is by the renewing of our mind. Because I've got our flesh over here. Our flesh wants to do one thing. It wants us to look at this. It wants us to say this. It wants us to be selfish and do what we want. But on the other hand, we have the Spirit of God, who wants us to live like God wants us to serve other people, wants us to stay pure. And so we have these two opposite things that, you know, this flesh where we came from, we still want to do this sin, but God wants us to live this way. And this battle comes together right here in our mind where we make our decisions. That's where the battlefield is. And so, I mean, and I know, y'all know that you guys go through these, we play these mind games all the time where we're trying to make decisions of whether it's, you know, if we go to eat breakfast or not, or if we're going to go do this sin or not. And we just play around in our head of, well, maybe it's not sin. Okay, I'm going to confess in front of everybody and on tape. Yesterday, you know, I was getting on the internet out at New Mexico Hall, and it says internet till 10 o'clock, and it was 10:25. And so I'm in my head, it pops in, well, the rule is 10 o'clock, but there's this guy next to me using it. And so I'm on here doing this battle in my mind while I'm trying to check my email real fast, and I'm like, well, the guy's over there, and he's not saying anything. And it's a little thing, but in my head, I'm going back and forth, fighting this battle. You know, it's nothing outside. The guy next to me has no idea. But in my head, I'm trying to choose, okay, is this sin or not? And what am I going to choose? Am I going to choose what my flesh wants? Or am I going to choose what God wants in my life? I mean, can anybody identify with that? Does that not happen like 24 hours a day? Like all the time. This is a daily thing. That's why we need to know, if we are truly going to be conformed to Christ, we've got to figure out how to fight this. Because this is His goal in our life. And you don't fight a battle sitting down. People who fight a battle sitting down just get killed. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. Let's look at that. If I can find it. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." So these weapons are divine. They're from God. What is from God that we can use as a weapon to fight this fleshly stuff? Verse 5, "We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God." So we have these speculations that are coming against the knowledge of God. So we need to use the knowledge of God to destroy these speculations. Read on. "And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." So these thoughts that in our mind, when we're trying to figure out what decision to make, what are we going to do, we need to take the knowledge of God, the obedience of Christ, and that needs to take over, take captive of our actions of what we're going to do. Take every thought captive. Thought is in your mind. That's why this battle's in our mind. And so the weapons that we're going to look at today, there's a handful of ways to do this, but I think two of the key weapons of, I mean, what we're really doing is we're trying to think like God, you know? And, you know, God explains in Isaiah 55 that, you know, His thoughts are so far above our thoughts, and His ways above our ways. So what we got to do is we got to figure those things out. We got to figure out, how does God think in this circumstance, about this situation? How do I think like God? And so the weapons we're going to look at is Scripture memory, memorizing God's Word, getting the knowledge of God, getting His thoughts, just putting it in our mind and in our hearts, taking it deeper. And then meditation is the other one. Scripture memory, meditation. Meditation is taking God's word and just trying to go deeper. Just taking time to look over these words and ask questions and try and figure out, what does this mean? Why did God say this? What does it mean in my life? Because we can, you know, we're the society we live in, and so, and like my personality, you know, real quick, want to get stuff done so we can move on to something else. But if we really want to know how God thinks and how we can think the same way, we've got to put the time in, man, to see what His Word is really saying. And that's by meditation. So let's look at a few examples. Are we making this stuff up? Is this scriptural? First example I want to look at is Stephen. And you can look in Acts 7, or look at a friend's Bible if you don't have one. We're not going to read the whole chapter. I just want you to see this. If you look at Acts 7, who knows what's going on in Acts 7? Yeah. Stephen is before trial. And it's right before he gets killed. So he may know this is coming. So, I mean, none of us have been on trial or anything. A hard circumstance like this. And so, you know, he probably didn't have time to prepare. What am I going to do, you know, if I ever get put on trial? Or he's not sitting in his cell, you know, trying to figure out, if I say this. If you guys look over the page of chapter 7, verse 3, 5 through 7. We're at like 27 through 30, 49 and 50, 33 and 34. Does anybody's Bibles have, like, different margins or all caps or whatever? Why is that? Yeah, he's just quoting Scripture. Okay, so some of us get nervous when we get up in front of people to talk. Well, he's in front of a trial that most likely is getting ready to kill him, and does, and Scripture just comes out of him. You know, Jesus told him, you know, so if you guys go before trial, and we will speak through you. And how does he speak through him? It's through Scripture. And so, this is, I mean, He was prepared for this. He had to be to know this stuff. And it just came out. The Scripture just came out. Stephen's a great example of Scripture memory. And he knew how to use it, so he had meditated on it. He knew what it meant, knew what it said. Well, where did Stephen pick this up? Anybody know how Stephen got brought to the picture of leadership in the church?
They were choosing, the 12 needed to choose 7 to preach to the people around them.
Yeah.
And so he was by far one of the most people that knew most Scripture, and so people
did like him. Right. Yeah, the apostles picked him because of his life to bring him into service to help the church. And so the apostles helped him learn this stuff. They had to. And look over at Acts 2, 14 through 36. Flip over a few pages. Just look at these verses again. This is right after Pentecost. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just sitting around. Jesus told them to sit around in Jerusalem and wait for his help. So they're sitting around, and then the Holy Spirit comes down, and they all start speaking in tongues and other foreign languages, and a huge crowd gathers around. So Peter, in Acts 2:14, it says that he goes over, prepares a sermonette, looks up in his concordance, and listens to a message on how to preach to thousands at Pentecost in Jerusalem. No! Peter just jumps up and starts quoting Scripture. You guys can look in your Bible again. You see just the bold caps there. It was just flowing out. And he's just teaching. That's how he's teaching. He didn't have time to prepare some sermon. He just gets up and just tells people the Scripture because he knew it. So the apostles probably taught that to Stephen. And where do we think the apostles picked this up? Who chose the apostles? Jesus, yes. Matthew 4. You guys can look over there. 4, 7, and 10. What's the story here? What's going on? He's out in the desert. Satan's tempted him. He's been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And how does he fight that temptation? Just quoting the Word of God. Jesus most likely taught that to his apostles too. We can see down all these examples of people who knew the Word of God. And the way they used it was they had it memorized in their head. It wasn't just something that they knew. They actually knew the words. And they could repeat it just like that. Look at a meditation. Look over at Psalms 119. Look at some stuff that David did. Psalm 119, verse 23. Even though princes sit and talk against me, thy servant meditates on thy statutes. Even when people are poking fun at him, whatever, he's meditating on God's word. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Meditates on God's word all day long. That's what David did. 99 says, I have more insight than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. So David knew more than his teachers just because he meditated on the word. Going deeper, he could learn more than the people that taught him that stuff. And then 148, my eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate on thy word. Even late at night, David's meditating on his word. Anybody know Joshua 1:8? So Moses is commanding Joshua there to meditate on God's word day and night, and that's how he can be careful to obey everything in this. Let's go back. What is our goal again? We want to think like God. We want His new nature, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that's given us to take over our life, take over our will, so we can live that out in daily life. So he says, meditate on the word of God day and night so that you may be careful to obey everything written in it. And let's look at an example of our enemy. This is a battle. Battles have good guys and bad guys. And if we need to fight this, we need to know a little bit about our enemy too. If you guys are still in Matthew 4, you can look back if you want. Matthew 4, 6. We see somebody else who quotes scripture. Who is it? Satan. Snap! Most people in the Christian, okay, any Christian is in this battle, whether they want to or not. They have this sin that they've got to quit doing so they can live the new life. And how many Christians don't know anything? One, they may not even read scripture. One, they don't know it. And they can't even quote it, most people. But Satan, our enemy, is the one trying to bring this sin back to us, he knows the scripture. So if he's out here quoting scripture, we need to know this stuff so that we can battle against him. And a lot of times, you know, if this came up, you know, a lot of us would just be like, well, he quoted scripture. I guess he's right. Should Jesus have just jumped off the temple in or something? No, he knew what the scripture meant. He knew that verse too. And that's just talking about just going deeper again, meditating, know what the word says. He was able to give a rebuttal with scripture because he knew what that stuff meant. He knew how we apply it to our life. So I want to give you guys just some other verses, man, just on the stuff of memorizing scripture, or meditation. Philippians 4:8. Because finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything that is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So we need like an invasion of the truth in our minds to know these things. We need to, it needs to be in here. Things like memorizing it and thinking about it. Things like meditating on it. Who knows Psalm 119:9-11?
Nothing of me keeps with your, by keeping it according to your word. In your word in my heart.
In your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hiding God's word in our heart. That's how we fight sin, he says. You know, we're in a battle. We're fighting the sin. But we need God's word in us so that we can fight this. So 119:92 is an interesting verse. It says, if my delight had not been your law, then I would have perished in my affliction. We will all go through some type of affliction in our lives. Some big things, some little things. And Paul says, if you know, I had not delighted in your word, if I had not enjoyed knowing it, and getting into it, then I would just perish during the hard times. So we need to be prepared for these hard times to survive. In a battle, we're trying to survive. So we need to be delighting in God's word, knowing it. Flip over to Proverbs 7. First few verses here. Verses 1 through 3. Says, my son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. How do you write God's teaching on the tablet of your heart.
Oh man.
You gotta go deeper than just hearing God's word and just reading it. To write it on the tablet of your heart means it's gonna stay there. It means that your heart, you know, is like how deep we are, the deep part of our life. So we know that. It's on our heart. It's becoming part of us. And some tools to do that is by memorizing it, getting it in us, and then meditating, taking it deeper, really seeing what it means in our life. Another verse, John 15:7. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it shall be given to you. So he says, you can ask anything, and I'll give it to you. But why? It's because we remain in him, and his words remain in us. God's word is in us again. Looking at some stuff with meditation. You know, we looked at Joshua 1:8 already. The command to meditate day and night that Moses gives to Joshua. Also Psalms 1, 2, and 3. Talking about a man that says his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. And he'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruits in its season. Its leaves does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. If we're in a battle, we need to be prepared for these things. Be like, you know, this first time about being firmly planted, that firm foundation. And fighting a battle, we need to know what we're doing. We need to know our weapons. We need to know who we're fighting. We need to know how to do it. Psalms 48:9. Another example here. It says, we have thought on thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. Sons of Korah are speaking here, and they're just saying that they have thought on who God is, knowing God. How do we know God? Just think about it. Knowing God's thoughts by thinking on who he is. I was eating with a guy yesterday out here named Trent. So we all know Trent. He's in the United States Army Corps. And he was just talking about, you know, he's in the infantry division, and he's just talking about some of his training and things he does, and because he's preparing to go into battle. That's what his job is to fight someday, is to be in a battle. So what does he do? They don't just, you know, sit around and you know, think of one day of, or play the video games and, you know, oh yeah, I'll be this guy and do that or whatever. They get out and they train multiple times. It's like, they got people that get in their face and tell them what to do. And so they're already doing this stuff. They already fight right now, even though the war, they may not be in the war. And so, you know, he was talking to me yesterday, you know, he's good at clearing a room. That means you jump in a room, surprise, and you kill the bad guys, you know. And he knows how to do that because he's practiced it, and it's drilled in their head. Now, he's never had to do that, and he hopes he never has to. But because he's preparing to be in battle, He has gone through all this training and through all the work that it takes. This stuff is in his head, man. He has it all memorized. He knows exactly what to do. You know, the Army, they always come up with these acrostics and stuff of, you know, if their gun gets jammed, they go through sports and they, I don't know what it stands for, but they work all this stuff and so they can get their gun back to working. And they're just ingrained in the way they think. Trent was explaining, when they get out of boot camp, all of them go buy a gun. Because in boot camp, you always have to have your gun with you. And so when they get out of boot camp, they're like, I don't have a gun, I don't know what I'm doing. Because it was ingrained in their mind, because they had prepared for this, that they go out and they buy a gun just, you know, to be prepared even more. But even though they're not in battle, they're getting prepared for it. And we need to take this stuff the same way. We need to be serious about this. Ron Polk yesterday was talking about that we don't take sin seriously enough. We don't take the holiness of God seriously. And that this really is a battle that we need to be training for every single day of our life. Because these struggles come up. We're already in the battle. These struggles come up every day of our life. And they will continue to for as long as y'all live. As long as we all live. And so we need to be getting God's word in our mind. Start thinking like him so we can do this. So let's look at some of the hows and just some ways to do this. I want to give you guys some practical stuff that you can take away. You can start today. To prepare for battle. And stuff on meditation I stole from Waylon Moore. There's a little, this is free right here. A little acrostic I'll give you for discipleship. I call it shroops. It means shamelessly ripping off other people's stuff. So, you know, that's what I'm doing right now. William Moore gave 5 ways to meditate. 5 P's, if you will. First one is check the perimeter. And this is, if we're going to memorize a verse, and look what's around it. What's the context in there? Who's saying it? Who's he talking to? When I got time with Dr. Tomlinson, I kept on asking him questions, and he just, you know, he keeps on going. So I never got to ask him another question. And so it frustrated me. But I think he was doing something that took me a while to figure out. And he would always go back and give these examples, and it always dealt with context of knowing what the verse is talking about, knowing how the words are used and how important that is. And when we memorize Scripture, we have to know what it's talking about, not trying to make stuff up. So we need to check the perimeter. Another way to do it is just paraphrase the verse. Put it in your own words, you know. To be able to put a verse in your own words, you have to know what the original words mean. And then you just kind of try and make it where you would understand it better. 3, pulverize the verse. It's a good guy word, pulverize. A huge way of just going deeper in God's Word is just to ask questions. Here, try this. When you guys memorize a verse, you want to pick a verse to meditate on, pick like 2 key words that stick out to you. And one at a time, go through, ask who, what, why, when, where, and how. Ask the question words on those. And, you know, work with it. You know, if we look at Romans 12:2, it talks about transforming, to renew your mind. What is transform? Who transforms, you know? Or what is the transformation that takes place? Or why do we even need to be transforming our minds or be transformed ourselves? And how does that take place? How does a transformation take place? Ask questions like that. And then you can also emphasize each word. You guys ever trying this? Just go one at a time to make an emphasis on each word of the verse that you're looking at. Like Romans 12 through, and do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Okay, and. So there must have been something before. Why is it saying that? Look at that. See why? And do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Okay, do. That's like an action verb or something. It's not just you just sit back and do it. You know, you got to get out. You have to be proactive about not conforming to the world. And do not conform to the pattern of this world. Okay, not. That means no. We don't do this. And do that to emphasize each word. To try and really figure out, okay, what is this saying for me? And you'll be amazed at how each word comes alive and has its own meaning in there. It explains the verse so much better. And that's what meditation is getting to know God's Word better, going deeper. And then 4 is to personalize the verse. And just going back, I mean, what is our goal again? Why are we fighting this battle? Why are we doing meditation? Is it because our Sunday school teacher told us to do it? Or is there somewhere we're headed? And still, our goal is that our lives are changed. God is predestined. That means He's planned beforehand. You know, He's got it on the planner, and it's not going to change that we be conformed to the image of His Son. We are trying to become like Christ. And so when we're looking at these verses, we're not just getting more knowledge so we can think we're smart or we got something good to tell people, but we want to apply this to our life. We want to personalize this. Look at this verse. What is it? When we find out what it means, then we ask the question, what do I do about it? How do I apply it? James 1:22, do not merely look at the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That deception, and we can go back and look at the flesh again if you guys want to talk about deception, since you brought it up already. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so they may not see the light of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So the people who are deceived are the people who are still slaves of sin, and they can't see the truth. But we can act that same way if we look at the Word and we don't do anything about it. We don't apply it to our life. Do not merely look at the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Obey it. We're trying to change the way we think. Think like God. And then 5 is just to end it. Just pray it back to God. Pray over the stuff that you wrote down, those words, you know, that you tried to explain better and tried to understand. And just ask for his help in understanding and applying those things. So that's some ideas for you there on meditation. Here's another one you can write down. You all know it's in Joshua 1:8. Says, don't let the book of law depart from your mouth. That's another verse, that part of the verse that I would kind of look over for a while. What does that mean, not to let the word of law depart from your mouth? So it's not supposed to leave. Now we're going to meditate on this. It's not supposed to leave. It's supposed to stay on our mouth. And what does it look like for words to be in our mouth? Kind of like talking or something, right? And so if we're not supposed to let the word leave our mouth, we need to be talking about this stuff. And right there he's saying to meditate. Well, what? Maybe this is a way we can meditate, is to take God's word and to talk about it with people. Here's a challenge for you. In your quiet times, try and pick out something and share it with one person a day. To keep on meditating on it. Not just to, you know, say, oh, that's cool, and go on with your life. Share it with somebody. And as you're talking about it, for me, a lot of times I have to talk about stuff so I can think it through. I'm a talker, if y'all didn't realize. But that helps, I think, a lot of us just to be talking about stuff. And that way, other people can meditate on the verse too. Okay, let's look at some stuff on memorizing. You know, most of y'all have probably seen the verse packs that BCU or Christian Challenge carry around, you know. And this is a great tool that I love because it's always with me. I got my little verse cards. I got my own system all worked out so that wherever I am, I can pull out. If I have any extra time or I'm driving or whatever, I can pull out and be looking at my verses that I'm memorizing. Because scripture memory is not something that is easy, first off. It's something that we have to work at, and we have to spend a lot of time doing. And so, you know, when you guys leave today, this is going to be something you guys are going to have to decide. Do you guys really want to do this? Do you guys really want to work at it? Because most of the Christian church, they don't. So they just sit in a pew once a week and lose the battle every day. But if we want to think like God, we got to put some effort into it. So, you know, if it's a verse pack, do it. If it's note cards, do that. But when you guys are memorizing a verse, start with one phrase at a time. We're doing Romans 12:2 again. Take your reference and then pick just the first phrase of the verse. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer. And go over that until you get that down. Then add another little phrase on it. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And just go over that stuff and say until you can get it. This is what Max recommends. Is when you memorize a verse, when you first memorize it, to review it 35 times that day. 35 times to go over it. And then for the next 2 months to review it every day. And then after that to review it weekly. And then you have like a whole bunch of verses you got memorized, and you got to do the whole back review system once a month. I don't know. My roommate was checking my verses the other day. He's been really challenging me in that. And he kept on bringing up these verses, and he'd say the reference. I had no idea what the verse was. And he's like, what's your problem, man? Do you not review these things? Did you not memorize these in the first place? And I thought I did. But one of the reasons that I can't say them today is, one, I didn't memorize them well in the first place. And that's why when we memorize verses, we need to go over it so much so that we can actually know it, to really get it down. And then to keep it going. In my verse packet, I have a little section here as my daily review. So every night before I go to bed, I pull these verses out and I just review them before I go to sleep. And since my roommate at Gloria is here, I missed last night. In case you guys won't think. Sorry. I forgot about it. So, and then the last one, man, one of the biggest parts of memorizing stuff is reviewing. Because, I mean, y'all are students. You guys go to school. We have tests. We study the night before, and we memorize it, and we go take the test, and the final comes around, and we have no idea what's on stuff, because that was like 3 months ago. Hey, man, I just graduated from college. I don't know anything. Because I don't review that stuff. Man, I just study that stuff to take a test or whatever. And we'll do the same thing with scripture memory. It says if we're going to change the way we think, we're going to fight this battle in our mind, it needs to constantly go through there. And man, I love reviewing verses because I keep on learning stuff all the time. And I'll look at a verse again, and I can meditate on that again that day. And I'll go over it so I can remember it better. I memorized 1 Peter 5 and 6 in high school. I went to a private school. We had Bible class, so I had to memorize verses. And And then, like, 3 years later, I was walking around the OU campus, and I was reviewing my verses. And 1 Peter 5:5-6, it says, young men, in the same way, no, I don't know what it says. I haven't reviewed it recently. 1 Peter 5:5. All of you, well, the part I'm talking about says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I was reviewing that. It's like, clothe yourselves with humility. What does that mean? And it totally clicked that it's like putting on clothes, but you're putting on humility. And that covers you, and that's what people see. And so they don't see you or whatever, but you're humbling yourself, and it's like, you know, the clothes that people see. And that thought had not clicked. It's 3 years that I had that memorized. But when I was reviewing it, I had another chance again to meditate on it and to ask myself, what does that mean? And so just by reviewing, I'm continuing to learn. And then, like, last semester, I was reviewing that verse again. It stuck out to me again. And so I put it on my phone, you know, when you put those little messages on your phone, open, clothe yourself with humility. Just to remind myself, you know, when I get up in the morning, that I need to be putting humility on me. And so by memorizing a verse, by going over it again, meditating on it, it started to change the way I think. And one of the ways to review is I'll put it on my phone, you know, or whatever. And so now I'm starting to think differently. Because one of my big struggles is just being prideful. I'm really independent, confident in myself. And God really has to break me of that a lot. And so now that I've got this verse in my head, and I'm understanding what it means, I can start trying to think more humbly. And that God opposes the proud. And what does that mean? God is completely against you. Well, I don't want to be against God, especially I'm a fight in a battle. If I already got Satan against me, I don't need God against me. And just to sum up here, turn over to 2 Timothy 4:1-4. Here around the end of the book, Paul's talking to Timothy. He says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready. Be prepared. In season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. And I want to just use this verse, just that this, I think this time is now, man. Churches and the things we hear in our culture, is that people just get, they just put people up front that will tickle their ears so they can hear what they want. And it's not from God's word. And on the bottom of your sheet it says, this battle is not only for your mind. It's not only you guys. Well, that's where we're starting today. But what this verse is talking about is also for the minds of the world. That we're in this time all over the world where people are not going to God's word. They're giving in to their fleshly desires every day. And they don't know how to live like God wants them to live. And they're just trampling underfoot the Son of God, regarding as unclean the blood of the covenant by which they are sanctified, and insulting the Spirit of grace. Because they are not taking God's word, putting it in their mind, and going deeper so it can change their life in the way they think. So let me pray for you guys. Lord, I thank you just for your direction and your word. God, I thank you for just this charge, this challenge from Paul, just that we need to be ready to know your word. And I pray that you will help us to be obedient to that, that we will not treat your sacrifice as nothing, but that we will try and to let you change us, God, and to do that by fighting hard to get your word into us and to change the way we think. So I just ask for your help, Lord, that you'll help us to put this into our life today, tomorrow, the next day, God, to know your word and to let it change us. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.